Okay, guys, come on up. I'll introduce these guys. We're short one mic, so we'll hand that around a little bit. All right. So I'm going to be really quick on the introductions. You guys may know most of these guys. Bob Talkington has been here, he told me, 52 years at the church, has been an elder. He'll probably tell you a little bit about that. Ben Kading has been here.
22 years.
22 years, and is real involved with our men's ministry as actually chairman of our men's board. Christian Gournay, who was here for 15 years, very involved in a lot of different aspects of the church. His family moved north. And so he moved north to a church there, but was very involved, was a deacon here while he was here. And then Ben Cunningham, who, I don't know, how long you been here, Ben?
50.
50 years. And he's also an elder and has been very involved with lots of different parts of the church. These guys are all well married, great kids, great some grandkids in some cases, and so you're going to hear their stories. So I'll start, Bob, with you just in terms of kind of how did you guys originally get together, you and Ben?
Well, Ben was the main part of it.
Yes, I was going to, I said, you know, we go to the same church, so that's how we met. And he left. He didn't hear me. I said, we go to the same church.
That's
right. So I talked to Neil. I was talking to Neil, and I was like, hey, I need some help. I was kind of floundering a bit, and he said, I was hoping Neil would say himself, because he's got three daughters, I've got three daughters, and he was like, not me. So he said, there's this guy, Bob Talkington, who I knew his name, but didn't know him personally. He gave me his phone number, and as they say, the rest is history. We started meeting fairly regularly, you know, shortly after that.
How long ago was that?
I think 13, 14 years.
Probably.
Yeah. Not too much before your back surgery. Yeah.
Ben and I have been meeting for 30 years next year. There's only one other earthly relationship I'd have been in longer, and it's my wife. But Ben and I met in the Foundations class, which Robin was in that class. And in 1996, I went to a men's retreat, and Howard Hendricks was the speaker. Everybody know that name? And he talked about mentoring, and he talked about young guys need old guys, and old guys need young guys. And so I thought, there's this guy in our Foundations class. He kind of looks like he's got his act together. Maybe I should go talk to him.
And he's old.
And he's old. So the next Sunday, I asked Ben, I said, hey, would you be interested in maybe getting together and having a cup of coffee and talking about life? And he said, no. He said, well, I'm already meeting with somebody. And I said, okay, sure. Kind of went home and had the Stuart Smalley speech with myself in the mirror. And then 3 days later, Ben, this is before the internet, 3 days later, Ben calls me and goes, hey, the guy I'm meeting with is getting transferred. You want to meet Friday? And that was 30 years ago. And we've met almost every Friday. We take a few vacations here and there, but it's been a great journey.
So I'll add to that kind of a, these guys don't know I'm going to say this, but in both cases, Ben and Christian reached out to these guys. That's how they got started. So I'm going to encourage you as a young guy to look for somebody to reach out to. Ben Kading actually called me too and just spent a lunch with me and said, hey, I'm interested. He picked Bob instead of me. Nothing personal about that. And then I was in the foundation class with Christian, and he went to Ben. He didn't come to me. So, I don't feel too bad
Strike
about that.
Strike two.
Yeah.
Strike two.
I was going to add, Robin, that we did pick you as a couple. So my wife and I meet with Robin and Diane both as a couple pretty often as well. So thank you for that, Robin.
You betcha. What's been the most successful about building your relationship, Bob?
Regular. Microphone.
You sound better.
There's something about this.
Makes your voice sound better.
Thank you. Yes. You are my mentor. It's interesting because when you've been together so long, you begin to wonder which one is the mentee and which one's the mentor. So that's kind of a wonderful thing. What was your question?
What has been successful about building the relationship?
Well, we respect each other, and we're transparent with each other, and we keep our secrets secret, and we both love the Lord, and we both are in His Word, so we have a lot in common, and that makes it very easy. But you have to make it a priority and be there. That's helped.
How about you, Ben?
Yeah, I think regularity for sure is a big part of it, and just knowing that there's an open door at all times, you know, knowing that I can, you know, text him or call him or at a moment's notice say, hey, what about Thursday? And it's been good for us. There's always, it's the exact same place, roughly exactly the same time, so that's not really an issue. We kind of know exactly what each other's schedule generally on a Thursday at 11:45 is, and we've got a place that we meet. And we pretty much get the same thing every time.
Weekly or monthly or kind of what you do?
Probably every 2 weeks or every third week or so, depending on our travel schedules, if he's, you know, traveling to see family or being with family. So, yeah, but pretty regular.
Christian, Ben, how about you?
We're always in God's Word, and I think that's been the root of our relationship. Also, I would say what I call TLC, which is trust, loyalty, and commitment. We exemplify that in our relationship. We probably read through a third of the Bible in the last 30 years. Nehemiah, great book. If you hadn't read that, please go read it. 1 and 2 Samuel. So we've covered a lot of ground. We'll take a break every once in a while and read a book by Pollock or Geisler or somebody like that, but it's just been a great run. I can't tell you how grateful I am for it.
So our format when we meet is we catch up, how was your week, what's new, what's happening in your life. Then we have a little Bible study time. It's very informal, but it's very structured. So we either, if we're reading a book, we're going to cover this chapter or half of a chapter. If we're reading the Bible, we're going to cover this section. And then we have we keep a prayer journal. We share prayer requests and we keep a log. So I've got 30 years of prayer requests in a book, multiple books really. It's probably an hour and 15 minutes, but we meet once a week, unless there's some conflict, which there are, and that's okay. But I think when we started out, we didn't start out with the intent to meet for 30 years. I certainly didn't think it would end up that way.
But it's like, really, again next week?
You want to do it again, really? But
although we were done.
Yeah, I don't know anything else to tell you, so anyway. But I don't look at it as a mentor-mentee relationship. I look at it as a friend, and a real friend. So.
Yeah, and I don't want to overshare because I know we got a schedule to keep, but, I mean, Ben was at the hospital when all three of my kids were born. You know, we've seen a lot of life together. You know, I've seen all his kids graduate high school, college, get married, have children. Now he's got 9 grandchildren. It's like there's not a contest. And then, you know, he's watched my kids grow up, go to high school, graduate, go to college, one get married. You know, I'm down to my last one at home now. I got 6 weeks left with him before he goes to college. And so we've done life together for 30 years. Pretty special.
And do you have one of your kids named a special name?
Yeah, his name's Ben, not Robin. No, thank you for asking that, Robin. I really appreciate that because, you know, We were kind of done at 2, and my son was a surprise. So there's 8 years age difference between my middle daughter and my son. And it was really funny because, you know, I was kind of, like, shocked. And, you know, we found out the night before we left to take the girls to Disney World. So the whole time I'm at Disney World, I'm scoping out all the families with 3 kids. None of them are having a good time. I mean, it's just like, is this really what I have to look forward to? And Ben's like, you need to get your attitude straight, boy. So I was grateful that Ben kind of put me back on course. But my son is named after Ben. And to me, that's very special. Thanks for asking that.
And it's special to Ben Cunningham, I know.
Yes, yep. Very much.
I wish that had happened to me. Ben and Christian, how about this? What were you looking for in a mentor and why when you were thinking about finding a mentor?
Yeah, great question. So I was raised by a single mom and a set of grandparents. I watched my mom work 3 jobs. I watched my grandparents step in. My grandfather was the dad I never had. Very grateful for their love and their friendship and their, you know, I was basically their extra son. And I couldn't be more grateful for that. My grandfather taught me a lot about being a man and respecting your wife and having a loving relationship and loving the Lord. And so I had a lot of fill-in from my grandfather. But there was always a gap there. It was kind of like an age gap. And so Ben has kind of filled that gap for me to have an opportunity to talk about things that I needed to talk about as becoming a dad and getting into the workforce and then, you know, having a marriage. And so I'm grateful to have Ben's insight because it's been priceless.
So you were looking for somebody, not to fill that father role, but just a man that could really bounce stuff off.
Yeah, someone that could just come alongside me and encourage me and be there for me and call me out when I need to be called out. So I'm grateful for that.
Ben, how about you? Yeah, actually similar but a little bit different. My father and mother, strong believers, thankful for their input in my life, just, you know, solids even to this day. But again, somebody that had a slightly different perspective on life. Bob's about 10 years older than my father, so a little bit opposite the other way. But just some wisdom in the workforce, wisdom in marriage, wisdom in raising kids. And Bob has 2 daughters, so, you know, raising daughters.
If I had a son, I would have named him Ben.
Not Robin. So, you know, perspective on raising a family in this culture. So, you know, Bob raised his family in Highland Park, but was very not a Highland Park family. So raising in a culture that's very different, you know, against the culture. So learning those lessons in raising my family on, you know, just raising them God's way, not the way culture says. So just, again, we started this when my oldest was probably 6 years old or so. So kindergarten, just getting into school, so kind of hearing that wisdom of them going through school, friendships, relationships, you know, raising the family, I benefited greatly from that. And I was looking for that kind of that guidance, even though my father, you know, love him, but just somebody here that we could talk with face to face and have more, you know, personal relationship with.
And we had dinner with Anna, his oldest daughter, 2 weeks ago down at A&M. So, you know, keeps on going on, and it's great. It's really great.
Well, let's keep going on that, Bob and Ben. How about what you learned from being a mentor and kind of some of the takeaways that you've had as a mentor?
I would say that I went into it kind of expecting me to feed Christian. But it didn't work out that way. It's so mutual that I would say I've gotten more out of it than he has. And to say it was been a blessing in my life is an understatement. So I can't imagine going through life without having a Christian in my life. And so I want to share one story, and this will put it into context. 2 years ago, I had major open heart surgery for a aortic aneurysm, and when my wife got upstairs to the waiting room after they had rolled me back, Christian was there, and he was there till I got out of surgery, 5.5 hours. He stayed with Patty, and so that's the kind of bond that we've got, and to say it's special is not going to do it justice. So,
in my case, there's all kinds of things because there's been a lot of different relationships. But one thing is that I understood at any given time that relationship could end. The guy could change jobs and not have the same hours, or he could go to another city, and or he could fire me. So I've been fired by about 2 mentors, and I had one mentor who moved to Fort Worth, and he later told me that he woke up in a sweat one night, and he was saying, "Shut up, Talkington." But it also has helped me stay young and not to get looking down on people that are younger than I am, maybe very much younger than I am. I'm 83. Ben, how old are you?
46.
46, just a mere child. So instead of looking down on them, I appreciate them. And so it keeps me sort of in line with other young people and older people. It's been good for me just to broaden my acceptance of people that are not like me.
And Bob and Ben, did you guys have mentors? Are you passing things along that you've heard from others?
Yes, I've had quite a few mentors, and three of them went to Northwest Bible Church, and they went on and on and on, and it became close friendships, and you couldn't tell who the mentor was and who the mentee is. And I have loved those guys. One of them died 10 years ago, and they asked me to speak at the funeral, and I had to say no because I knew I'd break down crying. And I still, when I see a photograph of him, I get a lump in my throat. So it's pretty cool, very cool.
How about you, Ben?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you have a mentor?
I had a mentor. When we first came to Northwest, there was a guy in our Sunday school class. He said, "Let's get together." Age-wise, there was not but a few years difference. Spiritual age was a big difference. I was fairly new Christian. He was very solid in his faith. And we met at JoJo's, if you remember JoJo's restaurant, had breakfast for years. And I still remember some of the Bible studies that we went through on that. So I did have a mentor that really kind of set me on course for my whole spiritual journey.
And I had a mentor who did not know that he was my mentor, but I was watching him. His name was Dick Cole. He had a degenerative disease. He ended up in a wheelchair, but he always served, whether he was on crutches or a cane or a wheelchair, he served others. And I just kept thinking, you know, you're my mentor. And so here I find myself, 83, and so it teaches me, and it should, as people looked at me in the congregation in him, I'm hoping they're saying, "I'm not too old to mentor someone else," because we all have life experiences and a lot of biblical training to do that as older men.
What a What a, when I think of Dick Cole, for those who did not know him, sweetest, gentle man, and I don't think he would set out to be a mentor, but he mentored just by the way he served. And I want to tell you all that when you're thinking about your legacy, legacy is not what you've done in the past. Legacy is what you set in motion for the future. So if you think about where you are right now, it's not about what you've done in the past. It's what are you setting in motion for the future. And I'll give you an example of that. There's a guy in town here that many of you all would know named Fred Smith, who was a Christian businessman, very successful. A couple of you guys are nodding because you're old enough to know who Fred Smith was. Fred Smith mentored a lot of Christian businessmen in Dallas. And one of those was Jack Turpin. Jack Turpin was a huge influence in this church and has influenced a lot, mentored me, influenced Bob, influenced Ben. And Jack Turpin has put into my life so that I am now mentoring others. So what Fred Smith started through Jack Turpin through me through some other men, is all about setting things in motion. And I think... that's why I kind of ask you guys who your mentors were, because you're paying it forward by really doing some of the same things for younger guys that these guys did decades ago and made a big difference. Bob and Ben, what you kind of touched on this, but what has been most valuable? What are the things that, as you look back, Bob, your time with Ben, what has been most valuable to you, and then Ben, your time with Bob, what's been most valuable? So, Bob, how about you? What's been most valuable about your time?
It's kept me flexible and aware that when I'm studying the Bible, that anything I might be able to get out of it, I might be able to pass on to someone else. In fact, Turpin said in my presence, he said, because the Bible refers to saltiness, the gospel, he says, God has poured the salt into each of us, but if we leave it in the salt shaker and don't distribute it to other people, it won't attract the thirst for Christ that we were given by other people. So this is for the people who have a lot of salt poured into them by other people, and it cannot stay, should not stay in the salt shaker. Spread it around.
Yeah, I'd say for me, just like we've talked about, kind of the seriousness of the word and the seriousness of the impact on the Bible, on our lives, and that it's not really just meant for us, and it's meant to talk about and to share, and to know that I've got somebody to bounce an idea off of. You know, you read something. We were just talking the last time we met, the enormously interesting book of Numbers. And we kind of had a good discussion about just talk about the law and different aspects, and just to know that, hey, I've got somebody I can really trust, you know, that he's also in the Word and he's seeking truth, and it's not just his opinion. It's based on a lot of history and a lot of study and a lot of wisdom.
I've been married 62 years, and so he asked me about his marriage and the way that husband and wives interface, and basically what I've told him is learn first that if she asks for something, you run. Or if she says, there's something we need to talk about, you run. Just
like run away?
Run away or run toward?
Oh, no. Run away. She says, Bob, this is my serious voice. And I go, phew.
Is that biblical? Okay, go ahead. Hey, Ben and Christian, how about you? Just value.
You know, it's something I think about. The commitment that we have. And in life, there are going to be ups and downs, and highs and lows. And when you're in that low, you need somebody in your life that you can pick up the phone any time of day. You can say, hey, I got to talk. or hey, I need prayer right now, or hey, help me. A Christian is that guy that I absolutely know if I called on him for anything, anything, he'd be there. And to have somebody in your life that you know you can trust beyond any measure is very special. So,
yes, I think everyone in here needs someone else, a Christian, someone who's biblically based, that you can go to when you have hard times. And I was awakened at 2:30 in the morning while asleep, and the guy that called me was a mentee, and he was crying. And his son had been burned by throwing gasoline on a little fire in the fireplace of their home, and it had scalded a good part of him. So I was at the hospital with my mentee that very morning. So you need someone you can turn to in the middle of the night with your distress, and you know he'll protect you, and he'll be there and giving you wise wisdom on whatever it is.
Christian, how about you, value-wise?
I echo everything that was said. I would just, my parting advice, or maybe unsolicited advice, would be if you don't think you need anybody, think again. Life is fragile, and believers need each other, and we were designed to pray for one another. And so my relationship with Ben is sacred. I've had a lot of people in my career say, we're going to have that meeting at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. And I go, no, we're not. Why not? Because I have a commitment. And it's sacred. It is blocked out of my calendar, and it stays that way. Commitment, I think, is one thing I've learned, obviously, but it is a sacred relationship. And so if you're sitting at the table now and you think, oh, I don't really need this, think again. Open up the book of Titus and read that.
Yep. And speaking of which, we're going to open up for questions in just a second, but I want you all to know that there's some beauty in these relationships, but they don't have to be, you don't have to have a theological degree to be together. It's just living life together, and it's working through things together. The men that they're my mentees. I learn from them just like they learn from me, but I am loving the interplay all the way around. And so it's not just a one-way street. It's not, hey, I know everything and you don't know anything. It's we're learning together. Matter of fact, I've probably learned more from my mentees in terms of where my kids are because I learn what they're going through. And so there's some great opportunities, and I really challenge you all to, and really, this is a pretty special church from a standpoint of being multi-generational. A lot of churches are not multi-generational anymore. And so we've got a lot of younger guys coming to our church that are raising their hands to say, I really want some wisdom, some experience from guys that have been around the horn a couple times. And so I want to challenge you all to really think about being available. We're going to be probably implementing a new program in the fall called Finishing Well. That's for guys that really are thinking about purpose in life. There is nothing in the Bible except one place about retirement, which has to do with Levites taking a lesser role as they age. But other than that, there's nothing about retirement in the Bible. So I think Bob and Ben are great examples of guys that are just not going to let it, they're going to finish well. And so we'll have a program that kind of touches on that if you're interested. So I want to open it up for just any, we do have some table questions, and I do want you all to give us some feedback on those table questions because they're important. But if we just had a question or two from the crowd, let's do that. Anybody? Yeah, Justin.
What have y'all learned about navigating through disagreements on topics and how you let those kind of sharpen?
How do you handle disagreements? Just, you know, as you work through things.
Ben's always right. I say that tongue in cheek, but you know, I'm really grateful to have Ben that's got the knowledge and the history there. But you know, the point is, it's like I you know, we talk about things and we talk through things. I think that may be the way to say it. You know, if we're not on agreement on something, we talk through it. And
I can't think of really any issue or there was a disagreement. I think of times Christian has gone through two job changes, not by his choosing, and thinking through the path to navigate that season of his life. He may be thinking, I'm going to do this, and I may have a different thought, and we'll talk through it.
Well said.
I don't think we've ever, I can't think of any disagreement that we've had. I think we've had better suggestions. So.
I like that.
Have we had any disagreements?
Ben and I have not had any disagreements that I can remember, but I can only remember yet till yesterday. So, but Jesus said, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that all men may see that you are my disciples. And that is something that is really relevant in close relationships, that you respect the peer, and you think of your mentee as a peer, not that you're better than they. You respect him, he respects me, and we can share and not get angry about it.
Yeah, I'd say he's taught me a lot of humility, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's put those table questions up. I want you guys to spend a little bit of time on this at your table. And let's just thank these guys for sharing their testimony with us. Okay. And you got a piece of paper and a pencil. So somebody be a scribe on this one question in terms of what can we as a church do to help pull men together. So just thank you.